Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved, right?
Yes.
And it's good to be in church, right?
Yes.
And it's good to see me, right?
Yes.
Well, I just figured I'd get you saying yes. I'd throw something in there. excuse me. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And I tell people, you know, sometimes what we talk about, what we preachers talk about, you're not always interested in. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I was at a preacher's conference some time ago, and on that particular morning there were three speakers. I wasn't one of them. The first guy got up and talked about how to secure a building. Well, it's what you guys would need. I don't need that. We don't even have a house, let alone a church building. The second guy got up and talked about how to get a second man. And I'm not really even looking for my first, so there's no problem there. And then the third one got up and talked about how to raise your kids. And our kids, our three boys, are all grown up and in prison now, so it doesn't really much matter about that. And no, they're not. He's looking back at like he thinks my boys are in prison. They're not in prison. They haven't been tried yet. They're just in jail waiting for trial. Anyway, no. But what I'm saying is that the three guys got up, and nothing they talked about did I need, okay? And so sometimes what we talk about, you don't necessarily need, but what I'm going to talk to you about this morning affects everybody. I'm going to talk to you this morning about temptation, all right? Temptation is something that not only have you experienced, but as long as you're breathing, you're gonna glance off of it or go through it or whatever, and I'll talk to you about what to do about it. I want to say this. You probably heard this term, and sometimes we just say things, and I'm not sure they're accurate. But did you ever hear anybody say this? Unfortunately, sometimes they say this about a preacher. They say, did you hear about so-and-so? They fell into sin. You ever hear that? All right, nobody falls into sin. And by that, I mean, you ever fall into anything? If you ever fell into something, it was usually a surprise. All right? I saw this video. And it's a video of the back room of a, like a 7-Eleven gas station type thing, you know, sort of one of those stores, convenience store. And the security camera is up here, and it's shooting down. And the back room is probably only about this wide. And there's shelves here, and there's shelves against that wall. And there's a lady, this camera shooting over her shoulder. She's up here. She's up about one step up on a ladder. She's doing something on this shelf. And the only way to the basement is a trap door. So some guy, while she's up on this ladder, he opens the trap door and goes downstairs. She takes a step off that ladder and went right down. I mean, she was gone, brother, just disappeared. She fell. Well, look, nobody ever, it's like this. Nobody ever walked out of a bar drunk going, well, how'd that happen? I was walking past this bar. I just kind of fell through the door and a beer fell in my hand and it fell down my mouth and I fell out drunk. You know, that doesn't happen. So nobody falls into sin, but you can fall into temptation. By that I mean you can be minding your own business, trying to live for the Lord, and find yourself tempted, okay? I was flying not too long ago, and I'm flying alone, and there's a lady about two seats over, or seat over at the gate, and she got up to walk away, and I don't know where she had this money, but she had a couple of 20s, or a bunch of 20s, I don't know how much it was, but she had them folded over and folded over again. Well, when she got up to walk away, they fell on the floor. And nobody saw but me. And she's walking away. Well, you got to act fast. So I jumped to my feet, went. Romans 8:28. No, I didn't. I called her. I said, man, you dropped something. And she turned around and picked it up. But what I'm saying is that you can... you can be minding your own business and find yourself in temptation. Take a look at Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord has a prayer here. Obviously, this is called the Lord's Prayer. You know as well as I do, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It is the disciples' prayer. It was Him teaching us how to pray. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, before you got saved, were Roman Catholics? Okay, then you said this prayer. We called it the Lord's Prayer, and we also said a bunch of made-up words of man, act of contrition, Hail Mary, and prayed to angels and everything else. After I got saved, somebody told me this. They said, you can't say this prayer anymore. And I said, why not? And they said, well, that's vain repetition. Can I ask you a question? How are the words coming out of the mouth of God Himself be vain? I mean, I would like to hear the Lord teach you this, and you go, oh, that was a waste of time. I don't think the words coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ are going to be vain. You say, well, yeah, but you just say it over and over and over again. Okay, let's check. I wouldn't doubt that if you've been saved any length of time, some of you have been praying for some lost family member or friend to get saved for what? 10, 15, 20 years, right? Oh, yeah. Have they gotten saved?
No.
Huh? Sounds like repetition. It sounds like it's vain. Mm-hmm. But I'll bet you're not going to stop it, are you?
No.
So I call this an economy of words. I think it's a good study in prayer. He says this. Look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what God says? God says when you start praying, say something, or the Lord says, when you start praying, say something good about God. Now, we never, I'm sorry, we don't even want to talk to God. When we pray, we want Santa Claus. We want to tell him what we want, and we'd like a big one and a red one, and could you please hurry? That is how we are. But it says, say something good about God. Now you say, well, I don't want to be trying to flatter him. You know, I've always thought that flattery was like a compliment beyond reason. You know, ladies, if you fix a dinner for somebody and the guest says, well, you know, you really worked hard for this and it was good, thank you very much. That's a compliment. Yeah. That is due you. But if the guy doesn't get off of it, well, I got to tell you, that's the best fried chicken I've ever had. Well, I'm telling you what, I wish my wife cooked as good as you. And I'll tell you how you can tell when you're being flattered. You find your head expanding. You can feel it filling up, all right? Well, you go, I make a mean meatloaf, you know. But, well, let me ask you a question. What are you going to say about God that he's going to go, well, that's a little over the top? I mean, what good thing are you going to say about God where you're going to go overboard? I don't think you're in danger of that. So it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll bet you never start your prayers out by saying, God, I hope you get what you want. You start your prayer out, basically, maybe not with these words, I hope I get what I want.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? Yeah. And maybe it's kind of a deal. How about he gets us what we want, and we try to get him what he wants. Now, let me ask you this. I think I got you figured out, because you're probably like every other church I preach in, and that's not a bad thing. Before you eat, do you bow your head and thank God for your food?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you did. Now let me ask you this. How many of you ask him for it? Look at verse 11. Mm-hmm. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if this is Lord, you call yourself a disciple? Because we call this the disciples' prayer. Then if he says, you know, this is the disciples' prayer and we're disciples, yeah, then he said we ought to be asking him for our food every day. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you there's four reasons why you never ask God for your food. Your refrigerator, your freezer, your pantry, and your grocery store.
Yeah.
You've got those three. I have not been in your homes, but I'll bet you everybody here, every home represented, you've got more food in your house than you can eat in one day. For a Baptist, that's pretty good. But and when these get low, when your freezer and your refrigerator and your pantry get low, you're not going to ask God for food. What are you going to do? You go to Wegmans or Tops, or you're going to fill it up, right? But you know, if this recession turns into a depression or worse, they tell me that statistically every city, say Ithaca, all of the grocery stores in Ithaca have enough food in them that if no other trucks came into the city bringing any more, and it kept going out at the rate it goes out, you got a 2-week supply of food. But if tomorrow they said there's no trucks coming in, those shelves would be empty in 2 hours. And if the grocery store shelves are empty, it's not going to be long before your pantry and refrigerator and your freezer are going to be empty, correct?
Right.
And I'll bet you all of a sudden you wake up one morning and go, you know, we need to ask God for our food.
Mm.
Well, why don't you do it now? You know what, guys? I've already prayed this prayer today. I pray that prayer every day. Now, I mean, I pray for a long time, but I start with that prayer. I ask God for my food every day. We have a motorhome. It doesn't have a big refrigerator. It doesn't have a big freezer. It doesn't even have a pantry. But I don't trust our refrigerator. We got up this morning and found our freezer defrosting. Can't figure out what the problem is. And so we don't trust our refrigerator. We don't trust our freezer. We don't trust the pantry. I don't even trust the grocery store. You know what I trust? The Lord.
Yeah.
Now, here's just a thought, okay? Some of you probably complain, well, I pray and God never answers. Well, think about this. If you ask God every morning for your food, then wouldn't every meal be an answer to prayer? You bunch of Baptists, you could have like five or six pray to, or answer today. So it says here, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now look what it says in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation. Then it is a valid prayer. And since it said daily bread, it sounds like it's a daily prayer, correct? It is a valid prayer. Let me advise you. The first thing about temptation, start your day every day saying, God, please lead me not into temptation. Don't say, well, I want to get into temptation so I can get strong against it. There's no place in the Bible you're ever told to get into temptation. The Bible says to flee it, flee fornication, flee youthful lust, lead me not into temptation. Don't think you're smarter than God. You can't get strong against temptation by its very name. Temptation means you're tempted. Okay? So I think you ought to pray every day. Start your day. Lead me. That's why I pray this prayer. Lead me not into temptation. I'll tell you about temptation. You guys have all done this or seen it done. You ever see, you know, where they take a piece of a copier paper, notebook paper, whatever it is, and they put metal filings on it, and then they put a magnet right in the center of it. When you do that, the metal filings on that top of that paper do not two, but three things. The ones in the sphere of influence of that magnet, they go, and they just pile up right above that magnet. You've seen that, correct? The ones outside the sphere of influence lay there like a Baptist on the beach. They don't even know there's a magnet in the neighborhood. But at the edge, you know what they're doing? They're doing this. You ever watch that? They're kind of like dancing around to do it. You say, what's that? They're tempted. They don't know if they should stay here or give in. All right, temptation has a sphere of influence. If you're a recovering alcoholic or a recovered alcoholic, you're probably not tempted to have a drink right now. But if you sat in a bar and ordered a hamburger and a Diet Coke, you might find the temptation come your way. Don't lead yourself into temptation. But what you do is you ask God every day, please lead me not into temptation. You know, when our planes go out in the Air Force, when they go out on a mission, one of the screens they have on their console is a computer-generated topographical map, and it shows the hills and the valleys and the rivers. And on that map will be little orange circles. And that orange circle represents the radar sweep of an enemy anti-aircraft radar system. Orange means it's on and that it doesn't know he's there. It hasn't bounced off his plane yet. It can't see him. And so you got a little orange circle here and an orange circle here and an orange circle here. If that pilot cuts across that orange circle, that radar goes around one time, bounces back to the station, and all of a sudden on his console, that one turns red. That doesn't mean he's going to be shot down. That means he can be shot down. Now, let me tell you what his mission statement is when he's told to go on that sortie. He is not told, when you take this mission, see how many of those orange circles you can make red and still get back here. Yeah. You know what he's told? If you see an orange circle here and an orange circle here, fly between them. Don't go into temptation. So, The first thing you do is pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. The second thing, don't lead yourself into temptation. And that is where you put yourself where you can be tempted. Now we are all different. Everybody is tempted in a different way. In fact, I am going to tell you guys at the end of this, I'm going to tell you if you want to experience temptation, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And if you give in, you'll be able to stand up in front of the church and tell everybody you gave in to temptation. They won't kick you out. No, I will. Don't worry. But the first thing is pray every day, Lord, lead me not into temptation. The second thing is don't lead yourself into it. And by that I mean this, what I said. If you had a drinking problem and you've got a bar in town that's got the best shrimp basket in town, you know what that means? You'll never have the best shrimp basket in town. That's what it means. Well, if I go in there and just have a Diet Coke, you're a fool. You are leading yourself, you're putting yourself right within the power of that magnet, and maybe you'll get out and maybe you won't, but don't lead yourself into temptation. I knew of a situation, I wasn't involved, I knew of a situation. And this man, this young couple, this man would go to work, and every morning after he went to work, another man would come to his house and spend 3 hours with his wife. And I know what you think, and that didn't happen. You know what they did for 3 hours? Talked about baseball, which for me, I think a three-hour conversation about baseball is probably as close to sin as you can get. But all they did was talk about baseball. Now, you say, then what's wrong with that? It, number one, it violates the scripture that says to abstain from the appearance of evil. Okay? You know, if you did go into a bar and you did buy a hamburger and a Diet Coke, when you walked out, if one of your lost coworkers sees you coming out of that bar, you think they're going to say, bet he bought a hamburger and a Diet Coke. No, it's the appearance of evil. And I'll bet you when that man walked out of that house 3 hours later, I'll bet you the lost neighbor man across the street said, I bet they've been talking about baseball for 3 hours. Yeah. No, it's the appearance of evil. But the problem is you go in the bar and you order the hamburger and the Diet Coke, and you order 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 the Diet Coke, and one day order a beer. Yeah. You say, how did that happen? It started the first time. You go and you talk about baseball, and 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 all of a sudden you end up in bed and go, gee, we fell into sin. No, no, no. You didn't even fall into temptation. You marched into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't lead yourself into temptation. Everybody here knows what tempts you. And it's not always sin. You know, if we got up, and I'm not into this. I'm not into standing up and confessing your sins or whatever your spiritual battles have been this week. But if you... If we all stood up and said, here's what I was tempted to do last week. I know some of us would be appalled, some of us would be amused. I mean, somebody would go, I was Dunkin' Donut, and I bought a glazed donut, and then I bought a chocolate donut. And then I wanted a maple cream stick in the worst way. I almost went. Now, look, there are people who have that as a temptation. If somebody got up and said that, wouldn't you go, well, I wish that was mine? But again, guys, if you know where you're weak, don't lead yourself there, all right? You don't go where you're weak. The third thing, if you do find yourself in temptation, run from it. I mean, run like a coward. I am a believer in this. Men, I am a believer that there comes a time when we have to take a stand. I mean, take a stand if you got to take a beat. Take your stand. I'm not into this, well, let's all join arms and take a stand against. Look, sometime you have to take a stand, it's going to be just you.
Yeah.
And I hear these guys go, well, you know, there's nobody here to stand with me. Look, if it's right, you take the stand. What do you care if there's nobody there?
Yeah.
If it's right, you take the stand. But when you're tempted, that's not the time. The time is to head for the door as fast as you can. Don't worry about how it looks. Don't worry about, you know, well, I don't look very manly. No, no, you run.
That's right.
You know, the example I use is Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now, this is just a suspicion. You know, she threw herself at him. I don't think that he was the first guy that worked in the house that she did that with. I have a feeling that she probably had a nickname around the household as Easy. And Joseph ran. Now, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but, you know, he left his coat and she lied about him and he got in trouble anyway. You would rather have people lie about you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you react to somebody lying about you, but I take it as a compliment. Dude, when somebody lies about me, here's what I figure. Number one, they don't like me. Number two, they want to find something bad about me that's true. Number three, they looked me over real good and couldn't find anything bad that was true, so they made something up.
Yeah.
Guys, that's a tremendous compliment. I'll give you an example, and I don't spend a lot of time on the internet. I get my email. I do some research, and you know, if you punch Sam Gipp in a Google search, it's Duck or Pucker. You know, it's one of those. This guy hates me. This guy loves me. But I checked this out because the guy told me this, and it was so absurd, I just had to look at it for myself. And there's a guy out there on his website, he says this, Sam Gipp says, if you don't speak English, you can't be saved. Now, let me say this on Sam Gipp's behalf. I have heard him preach for 41 years, and I've heard everything he's got. And I have never heard him say that. You know why? Because he's never said that. You know why? Because he doesn't believe that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I believe if you want access to the perfect word of God, you're going to need to know English. But that's no different than in Old Testament days when God inspired the Old Testament in only one language, Hebrew, and told the whole world, if you want access to the perfect word of God, learn Hebrew. Well, I bet those Arabs love that. And when he inspired the New Testament, he inspired it in the language of the dogs, the Gentiles, the Greeks, not even in the language of his chosen people, and basically told his chosen people, if you want access to the perfect word of God, learn the language of a dog. I bet the Jews were excited about that. So it's never inconsistent that God put his word in one language and tells the world, translate all you want, but if you want access to the perfect word of God, you're going to have to learn a language. But I've never, because I don't believe that you got to speak English to be saved. That'd be a corny thing to believe. Now, you say, well, doesn't that upset you? Did you contact him? Did you tell him to say, no, I couldn't care less. So what if somebody believes the wrong thing about you? I just don't worry about it. I figure the guy hates me. You wouldn't say that about somebody you didn't hate. He's saved. That's how you can tell he hates you. Anyway, he hates me. He wanted to find out something bad about me that was true. He couldn't find out anything that was bad that was true, so he made it up. Yeah. So guys, you say, well, I'm going to try to explain. No, get out of Dodge. Yeah. Yeah. Turn around and run as fast as you can. Don't worry about what anybody says. Don't worry about how it looks. Here's what you've got to know. You've got to know, I didn't do anything.
That's right.
I didn't do anything. That's, well, I was tempted. No, doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Just get out of there as fast as you can. Now, we have a thing, you know, we are Baptists, and I say this about Baptists. Baptists can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, Baptists can find a cloud in every silver lining. You tell a Baptist good news and we will find some way to turn it bad. It is. That's how we are. And sometimes, you may have found yourself tempted to do something and you go wrong going, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe that I was tempted to do that. Oh, man, I'm going to quit going to church because I'm just a terrible hypocrite. Let me show you something. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And there is good news in Hebrews chapter 4 that you really need to read. Get Hebrews chapter 4 and James chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the Lord, and it says this in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. What's the next three words? All right, you know what? There's two great things there. You say, well, that tells me Jesus didn't sin. Oh, there's something, excuse me, but there's something for me in there. You know what it is? Being tempted to sin is not sin. It says he was tempted, right, yet without sin. And we sometimes, you know, we find ourselves tempted, and we go, oh, I can't believe, whoa. Being tempted to do something is not having done it. That is not a sin. But you know, come, well, preacher, you know, let me tell you what happened. I got to tell you, I wanted to do this week. Well, if you wanted to and stopped yourself. In fact, look what James chapter 1 calls that. Verse 12, it said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Guys. If you've ever been tempted to sin and did not sin, that is a victory. That is not a defeat. Now, I got to give this illustration, and half of this illustration is true. Half of this illustration is not. Please, when I tell you this illustration, get it right, because I'm afraid somebody's going to tell the whole thing and apply it to me. I was flying out of Australia on a Qantas flight some years ago. Now, I don't know if this is Qantas policy. But we just pulled, flew out of Sydney or Brisbane and gear up, and we're outside of Australian airspace. And as soon as we got up, the head flight attendant says, now we got like a 15, 16 hour flight to Los Angeles. All drinks are free. Any booze you want is free. I don't know if that's a Qantas policy or not. I think it might be the only, because I can't really remember much of that flight, actually. But anyway, Now that part's true. In fact, I'll tell you what I felt like. I felt like the designated passenger. You know, like somebody had to be here to remember what all. It was like a college dorm party at 36,000 feet. And I didn't have any drink, and I wasn't even tempted. But what if I told you, now that's the true part. What if I told you this? What if I told you, man, I was on that flight, and here's what I thought. Well, I haven't had a drink in years. And I don't think one of those little bottles is going to get me drunk. And if it does, I got 16 hours to get over it. And nobody's going to know, and it's free, so I'm not using God's money. Notice how you spiritualize it. What if I told you I got one of those bottles, poured it into a glass, and for the entire 16 hours, I'd pick it up and go, no, I better not. Oh, man, I want that. No, I better not. And I never took the drink. Never took a drink. Somebody would come up, pastor, afterwards, and go, are you going to let him preach to us this week? Well, yeah, why not? Didn't you hear what he didn't do? Guys, if you have found yourself tempted to do something and did not do it, count that as the victory that God counts it as. Don't be like a Catholic and flog yourself and go, I just can't believe it. I can't believe I've been saved this long and I could think such a thing. What? You think you're better than Jesus Christ? He was tempted and you shouldn't be? Well, I want to get over this. You'll never get over this. I'll tell you what's going to stop it. Death or the rapture. Yes. And so ask God every day, lead me not into temptation. Don't lead yourself into temptation. If you find yourself tempted, run like a coward. And if you have been tempted and did not give in, count it as the victory that it is, not a defeat. And now I'm just going to tell you, if you want to experience temptation, and you know, I don't ever advise it. Because all temptation is not to sin. I mean, it's not. You guys have just, you've been going through the store and got tempted to get something you didn't need. And so I'm going to tell you how you can experience temptation. I don't know if you'll give in or not. But if you do give in, you can stand up in front of the church and say, I walked right into temptation and I gave in. Now I'm going to say two words most of you will, probably all of you will understand. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Ready? Timeshare. You ever go to a timeshare presentation? You know, you decide to take a vacation to Disney World because you've never seen that many homosexuals from one place at one time. And so if you go to Disney World, wherever your motel is, on your way from the motel to the front gate of Disney World, you're going to pass a great big billboard and it's going to say this. Free tickets to Disney World. You ever see those? Or free tickets to this, free tickets to that. Now, you don't really believe that you're going to walk into that place and say, I want my two free tickets to Disney World, and go, sure, have a great day. Oh, they're going to give you the tickets. Yeah, they're going to give you the tickets. But they're going to say, well, we need to talk to you for a little bit. We want to show you an opportunity. Oh, yeah, an opportunity. 90 minutes. The average is 90 minutes. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to try to sell you a motel room. Now, this is a great concept. It's like why vacation for a week and spend, you know, $700 for a week when you can buy that for a week for $10,000? Sure seemed like a good idea when I did it. Anyway, now, they're going to sit down. And now you say, well, I'd never do that. Sitting here right now, you say you'd never do that. But that's because sitting here right now, you're not tempted. But you're gonna submit yourself to a professional salesman who has only one goal in his life for 90 minutes, and that is get your name on the piece of paper. And you are going to find out what temptation is all about. You'll go, well, let's go tell him we don't want it. Oh, yeah, right. You're going to tell a professional salesman, just give us the tickets, we don't want it. He's going to go, oh, okay, here's your ticket, see ya. Right. Well, we can't afford it. Right, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. Well, I don't think you can afford not to. Why do you say that? Well, how much are you spending on your vacation this week? And how much? And do you like the vacation? Oh, I love the vacation. And you're screwed out there. Well, we can't afford it. What? Oh, well, we don't want a vacation in the same place every year. He says, that's great. You see, we have these in the red zone, the white zone, the blue zone. The one I'm showing you is in the red zone. And you don't have to come back here. You can buy this motel room. Or they won't say it that way. You can buy, you know, you can purchase your timeshare. And you can trade it off next year. Why, you could go to Acapulco. Or maybe the next year you could go to the French Riviera. Or the next year you could go to Miami. Guys, they are designed to tempt you. Now, I will be honest with you. I am tempted to buy a timeshare. I am. Oh, I'm going to tell you exactly why I want to get one. I want to get one just so the week I have it, I want to go in and paint all the walls purple. I'll paint the ceiling bright orange. I want to take all of the furniture out because it's mine. Right? Didn't I buy it? Okay, it's mine. And leave, you know, like bales of hay, something rustic, maybe some boards on concrete blocks. And when they come in the end, we go, what did you do to this? Painter, it's mine. Well, what about the guy next week? Tell him the painter, it's his. Right? Well, what'd you do with the furniture? Oh, that old stuff. I had that taken to my cottage out at the lake, and I'm not even going to charge anybody for the stuff. I made this myself. guys, you will feel temptation. I didn't say you'll buy, but you will feel temptation. Here's what Kathy and I do. We just go in, and I go, you know, like whatever they're offering, you know, the tickets, whatever. Say, we're here for the tickets. And they go, well, we have to talk to you. No, we're not going to buy a timeshare. Well, you have to listen. I said, no, we're going to, look, you're going to be wasting 90 minutes. You're going to talk to us and we're not going to buy. Which means during the 90 minutes you're talking to us, you could sell this to somebody. Yeah, but you got to stay here 90 minutes. We brought books. We're going to sit right here and read. And so we sit there and read for 90 minutes. And at 90 minutes is over, we go, now we'd like our tickets. And you say, well, oh, so you didn't give in to temptation. I didn't enter it. See, I don't know if I'm not going to buy this time. Look, the pressure is so great when you go to look at a timeshare that whether you buy or don't, they don't let you walk out. There's usually a little courtyard. They've got lots of donuts and very strong, strong coffee. This was Kathy and I are considerably younger, and we just come through a timeshare thing and got our tickets, didn't buy it. And I remember there's this lady, she looked to be in her 50s, and she had probably had about 20 years on us, and she had a cigarette here. She had about 5 cups of coffee. I don't know where her husband is. I think he was hanging himself in a tree somewhere out in back. And we didn't even sit down. You know, we're just about to sit down at this table. She goes, did you buy? And I go, no, we didn't. She goes, we did. I'm not sure we did the right thing. Oh, wait a minute, guys. How did somebody that I credit having more life experience, that I credit having more wisdom by age than me, how did they do something that they, right after they did it, I'm talking within 15 minutes saying, I'm not sure I did the right thing. They led themselves into temptation and gave in. So if you want to experience temptation, go to a timeshare. And you may come, guys, I did it. I have a timeshare in Orlando. I'll never go back. But and oh, I didn't tell you. But you know, on your right after you buy it, you know, I say you leave your motel, and before you got to Disney World, there'll be a billboard that says, you know, 2 free tickets to Disney World. When you leave the timeshare place, before you get to the front gate, there'll be another billboard saying, "We get rid of your timeshare for you." Now, look, by the way, there's nothing bad about timeshares. I mean, really, if you want one, go get it. There's no problem. If you thought you were saving $100 and spent $10,000, there's a problem there, all right? And they say, well, I'm not going to have that problem. Well, I'll tell you how to save some money, and I'll tell you a temptation most of you can't say no to. Right there. Now, I'm going to tell you how to save money. If you need a gallon of milk, pull into the gas station on the corner and buy it. If you need a loaf of bread, pull into the gas station in the corner and buy it. You say, oh, no, I'm going to go to Walmart. It's cheaper. No. Buy it at the gas station. Well, I'll pay 25 cents more. You will save $25. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen anybody at the line at Walmart with 1 gallon of milk? Do you ever see anybody at Walmart with 1 dozen eggs and they're leaving? No. You know that nice man that meets you and puts a card in your hands? Hi, welcome to Walmart. He's a nice man. He's a nice man. They pay him for that. They did a demographic study. If they can put a card in your hand, on average, you'll spend $40. How many times you go through Walmart and go, oh, look at that. I need this. I don't really need it, but it's on sale. I don't have the money right now. But And then you wonder how you maxed out two credit cards. Because you can't give in to or you can't say no to temptation. I'm not against Walmart. Go to Walmart. We go to Walmart. We're the good Walmart shoppers. We go in, we have a list of 10 things we want to get, and come out with 15 anyway. Really, that's the truth. You always buy something you didn't plan on buying. Isn't that right? If you want a gallon of milk, go to the gas station, pay 25 cents a gallon more, but you know what you'll say? Well, I'm not buying anything else here. It's too high. Thank me. Thank me. I'm saving you money. Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you what my temptation is. I have, you know, if I have a temptation, I'll tell you what it is. And I haven't given into it yet. Oh, you guys don't want to hear that. No, I was tempted twice this week. I'm always tempted. Yard sales. Oh, man, you say ever stop? You stop at yard sales? I never stop at yard sales. You know what I want to buy? The yard. We live in a motorhome. I get this stuff off my yard. I want the yard, okay? But let me tell you why I don't stop at yard sales. Where would I put it? We don't have a garage. We don't have an attic. And we don't. They call under floor storage a basement. It's this tall. You don't have any place to put that stuff. It's like from your attic to mine, you know? And so I ended up buying. Now, look, I'm telling you, I know I'd find a good deal. But look what you do. Now, I'm not telling you don't go yard. I'm telling you that's what my temptation is. My second temptation, and I give into this one every now and then, are used bookstores. But preachers have that in our veins, okay? And I'll come out with about half a dozen books. My wife just found a book. We were in Cape Cod. She come over. She says, "Can you use this?" It is the translational notes of John Boyce, one of the 1611 translators. Oh my goodness, man! You can't find those. Those are not available anywhere. And when I tell you I paid $25 for it, that's not a bad price. I paid $250 for a book. For manuscript information for a book that I write. But what I'm saying is that you know what you're tempted to do or where you find yourself tempted, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Now I'm gonna give you these four and I'll let you take a break. You ought to start your day every day saying, "Lord, in some way," if you don't say that prayer that the Lord taught the disciples, that I would advise you this. I would advise you start your day with these two things. Please give us this day our daily bread. Because I think one of these days there's going to be 300 million people in this country asking for it. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get at the end of that line. So I show up every morning with my hand out. "Please give me food." "Gip, you got it in the freezer." "I don't trust the freezer. I trust you." "Gip, you got it in the refrigerator." "That refrigerator means nothing to me. You're God." Amen. Gip, you got, you do have some canned goods stored in the pockets of your suits or whatever. Lord, I don't trust my refrigerator. I don't trust my freezer. I don't trust the stored food. I don't trust the grocery stores. We only come here. We trust you." So I would advise you to start your day every day asking God for your food. And I would advise you every day start your prayer saying, "Please lead me not into temptation. Please." I don't. You say, because you'll give in? You know, who knows? And again, I told you it's not always sin. You just might end up 25 pounds overweight. You just might end up $10,000 in debt. Okay? It's not all, we always think of sin and we always think of lust and things like that, but that's not always what the temptation is. And so pray every day, "Lord, lead me not into temptation." Don't lead yourself into it. You know what you're tempted to do. Some people are compulsory. I'll tell you what some people have. They collect. You know, they make this little figurine and they get it and then they find out there's 24 more. Whoa, I got to have every one. Why? Because I found people to do that never dust them anyway. So ask God, "Please lead me not in temptation." Don't lead yourself into it. If you find yourself tempted, men, that is the time. Turn your back and run like a coward. My friends will laugh at me. The friends that are laughing at you for not sinning, if you give in, wait to hear what they say about you. I mean, in today, there'll be a picture of it on the internet. Somebody's Facebook page will have a picture of it that night. Okay? So run, flee like a coward. And if you've ever been tempted to do anything, don't beat yourself like you gave in. If you were tempted and didn't do it, that is the same thing Jesus Christ did. And it says, "Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." And so what you ought to do is you ought to say, "Lord, I remember when I was tempted to do this and I didn't do it. I get a crown of life. That's a victory. That's a victory. And just say, man, I praise the Lord for a victory. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll take a break, and then we'll have the the morning service. Father, thank you for this book. Lord God, there's more to this book than just telling us how to get to heaven. It tells us how to live on this earth once we're saved. And God, I pray that something that was said this morning will be a help to these folks. I pray somebody here, God, may not walk into temptation, may not lead themselves into it. Maybe they'll pray ahead of time and have you not lead them into it. So God, be with these folks. Give them victory when they find themselves fallen into temptation, that they don't end up in sin or end up just regretting having given in. Bless now, God, and I pray that we bless you with our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.